where they worshiped. That was a huge deal to construct and build, and took years. And the holy articles in therein taken away by a foreign invasion. He saw bloodshed. He saw death of those he knew and loved. He was taken to a strange place, surrounded by strange gods, strange clothes, learning a new language and new laws. Psalm 137 records the feelings of the people during that time. Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And with all those experiences, the Bible could have recorded that Daniel had a rebellious spirit, or Daniel had a lying spirit, or Daniel had a perverse spirit, or Daniel had the spirit of fear, or Daniel had the spirit of heaviness. But no, it says he had an excellent spirit, an excellent spirit. So how did he develop it? He wasn't born with it. An excellent spirit is something that is developed over time. What is an excellent spirit? It's one that excels. It goes beyond. An excellent spirit is developed in someone who yields their life to the Lord. It's a strong commitment to do everything with their all in order to honor and glorify God. Everything you do, your job, an excellent spirit is one that says, I'm going to do this to the glory of God. If I'm a business owner, I'm going to honor God by treating my customers right and being fair and being honest. If you're working under a boss, I'm going to commit my time. I'm going to do whatever my boss says. You know, I think of, and Chris can attest to this, Chris Zimmerman, we worked for the same boss. He actually hired me. And I've said this before, he was a hard man. Like, I wish I could explain it. There's many times where he would get me on the phone and he would ask me a question. And I knew someone else was conferenced in, another employee. And I knew I was about to get this employee shot. And I felt horrible, but he'd ask a question. I'd tell him, like, well, here's the answer. And he's like, see, I told you. And then I would just set the phone down. We worked from home, and I could just hear him, like, cussing the guy out, yelling at him, ranting and raving, and literally, there were some hard conversations, but there was favor there, and he never yelled and cussed me out, but I always got other people in trouble because I was the programmer, and he'd ask me the questions on, well, what does the data say, and then you'd have to tell him, and I'm like, oh, Lord, and then you'd listen, and then people would fight him. They'd want to fight and argue with him. And then he'd go into, who signed your paycheck? Okay, that's not the kindest way to treat your employees, but from my perspective, it's true. He did sign, it's his company. And so I learned, and by the grace of God, like I just kept my mouth shut. Yes, sir. You want to waste my time? Okay, I'll change projects. Yeah, I didn't tell him that, but that's what I thought. Like, it is his company. And, you know, there was times I was able to interject and give advice, and he'd, you know, but, like, that's an excellent spirit. Not saying I did. I had a bad attitude sometimes. But we can have a good spirit with our bosses. Everything we do, honor and glorify God. How we treat people, et cetera, et cetera. We could give our all for many reasons, but an excellent spirit is distinguished by that goal. To honor and glorify God. There's many enemies of excellence. Procrastination. Low self-esteem. On the flip side, pride and arrogance. Being excuse-driven. Always having an excuse why something's not done or why this or that or this or that. I want to throw in there, too, perfectionism. We had this discussion as pastors. We were prepping for one of our leadership meetings, And we're going to watch a video, and on the concept, present a video to the leaders. And one of the concepts was serving with excellence. And the discussion that we had ahead of time was that it's easy to think that excellence equals perfection. And so the discussion was like, we don't want them to feel like all this pressure and like I have to be this perfect person. And that wasn't the point of the whole video. And that's not the point of excellence tonight. I want to be clear. It's giving our all. It's not about perfection. It's doing whatever you can, the best that you can do. And yeah, we make mistakes, but we learn. We grow. And that's giving our all to growth, giving our all to realizing, hey, we need to change. We need to grow. And so it's not perfection. That's an enemy of excellence, is thinking, I have to be perfect. No, you don't. So how did Daniel develop an excellent spirit? Let's look to Scripture. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He committed to a life of integrity. He demonstrated the unwavering faithfulness to God's commands. Because, again, Israel had strict food limitations and dietary limitations according to the Mosaic law. And here he's in a new land and new laws and new things. And he said, you know what? I'm going to stick to what God has instructed us. And even despite it, and he asked the question, hey, can I do this? Can I? And he was given favor, but he committed to that life of integrity. He developed a heart after the things of God. Number two, Daniel made prayer a habit. Daniel 6, verse 10 says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. So this is, we read this beginning of Daniel 6. They're all jealous of him, and they set up this trap with the king and sign a law, a decree into law, and the king does it, not realizing it was going to trap Daniel and result in Daniel, and it was about prayer. And guess what? Daniel knew the writing was signed. He knew the law was now in place. He went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Key phrase here, as was his custom since early days. His consistent prayer life aligned his spirit with God's and God's will, and it strengthened his faith. And he kept going, and he developed that excellent spirit. Number three, Daniel lived humbly and trusted God. Daniel 2, verse 27 through 28 says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And he goes into, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and no one else could interpret it. And God gave Daniel the interpretation, so he brings it. And he could very well have just said, yeah, I'm the man. I interpreted. Give me some favor. But no, who did he ascribe it to? He said, that's not me. It's not me. It's all God. He could have risen up in pride, but he humbly acknowledged that the wisdom, the revelation came from God, not himself. No matter how God uses us, we must remember that our talents, our wisdom, our opportunities, they come from God. They come from God. And so we need to avoid pride. Again, pride is an enemy of an excellent spirit. We need to avoid pride and give God the glory. God the glory. Daniel 6:4, the governors and the satraps sought to find some charges, what we just talked about, against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Number four is Daniel was faithful in the small and big responsibilities. I'm sure these guys looked into every nook and cranny of his life that they could. All the finances, they probably interviewed people that he was over to try to trip him up and say, oh, yeah, he's actually not that nice of a guy, and behind closed doors, he's a jerk. But no, like they looked at everything, and they could not find anything wrong with him. He was faithful in all aspects of his service, whether interpreting dreams or doing the governing duties as a high-ranking official. This scripture is when the other leaders were jealous again and wanted to take him down and destroy him. Notice even his enemies could not find fault in his work. Excellence begins with consistency and a diligence to our daily responsibilities. Zechariah 4:10, I think we have the New Living Translation in our system, but it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Again, you know, we want to do big things. And we talk about big things and big dreams and big goals and big, but it all starts with the small. You want to be a prayer warrior, it starts with the small. It starts with the consistent small things. You want to be a great teacher someday, it starts with the small. It might start with my Malachi's class of 4K&K. Sister Jessica, Pastor Jessica had to fill in for that class, and she was laughing and telling me on Monday how crazy, like the girls are all like doo doo doo, and then the boys are just like, including my son, are like, ah, you know, and just like, but that's where she started way years ago, is teaching little kids, and what a phenomenal teacher that she is, and teaches our young people, teaches here in the adult class, and don't despise those small beginnings. It starts with faithfulness in the small things, and then be faithful to the big things. Be faithful. That's how you develop an excellent spirit. And the fifth thing that helped him develop an excellent spirit is that he stood firm in troubling times. So they convinced the king to sign in a law which said you shouldn't pray to anybody but King Darius. King Darius doesn't get the ramifications. He signs it in a law. Daniel goes, prays as he always does. They catch him. They pull him before the king. And, well, what's going to happen? We all know the children's story, Daniel in the lion's den. He's now going to be thrown with the lions. So Daniel 6:22, this is the next morning when King Darius comes and like, are you still alive? And he's like, I am alive. And then in verse 22, my God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. Again, talk about the humility and being humble. And he could have gotten cocky, like, that's my God. Check it out. You're just a crazy king, but my God, no. He's like, you're mad, just the wording there. And like, my God chose to save me. And he's found me innocent. I've not wronged you. But he stood firm in his troubling times. He didn't try to make excuses about his prayer. No, he owned it and said, yeah, I pray every day. Here's a guy whose only fault was that people didn't like him. They conspired against him, and he found himself in a den of lions, yet he had faith in God and trusted in God and stood firm. His courage and faith demonstrated his deep spiritual maturity. Can you imagine being thrown into a den of lions? I can't. I can't. But he trusted God wholeheartedly, even in those difficult circumstances. He stood firm in troubling times. His excellent spirit was refined through those situations. Number six, he sought wisdom and understanding. Daniel 9:3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make my request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel was a smart guy. That's why he was selected by the Babylonian Empire to be in leadership. He was a governor over a big part of the Babylonian Empire, and yet he knew that it didn't come from him. Again, back to the being humble and knowing that it wasn't all about him. And so, what did he do? He sought God for insight and understanding into Israel's future. Listen, church, we can't understand and figure everything out on our own. God does give us a mind. God has blessed us with thinking, and there is divine decision making, and where God is just, you make the choice, And you decide and you go. But there's times where we just need to say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this boss. I don't know how to handle this decision or this choice or where to go or how to handle this person, but I'm going to come to you. When we rely on God, an excellent spirit is fostered. Why? What does Hebrews 11 say? Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, we rely on God. We go to him. We seek him. He rewards that. He sees that. And he answers. What do we say Sunday morning in the teaching? If we ask, he'll answer. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will open. Amen. Then number 7, Daniel was a consistent testimony of God's power. His life and actions consistently glorified God, leading even pagan kings to acknowledge God's sovereignty. These guys were wicked. They weren't good men. But check this out, Daniel 2:47. This is the first time. King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Again, this is in response to the interpretation of the dream. Someone who had gone into their land and ripped them out of their home, not serving Jehovah God, serving their own gods. And Daniel 2, chapter 2, we're two chapters in, and he's already proclaiming, "Your God is the God of gods. He truly is." And then in chapter 4, again, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down." The example of Daniel in his life. And then King Darius, Daniel 6, this is at the end of that whole story with the lion's den and everything. It says, "Then King Darius wrote, 'To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?'" King Nebuchadnezzar and King Darius weren't taught a Bible study by Daniel. Like, well, here's the power of God. Let's go through the old Mosaic scripture. No, he was the Bible study. He was the testimony. He was the reflection. I remember at a youth camp, they gave an analogy. This was years ago. The speaker did about the moon. The moon itself does not have light. Well, we go outside and what? We see the moon. What is that? Is it the moon's light? No. It's a reflection of the sun. So to a dark, and the whole point to the young people was, to a dark world, we are the moon. We are a reflection of God's light. They can't see God. They don't know God. But our life is a reflection of him, can be a reflection of him. That's what it's all about, reflecting God's greatness, drawing others to him through our words and actions. Let me tell you, I still have a little contact with my boss on Facebook. I'm connected to his wife, and I've been meaning to tag in with them. But I hope I was a good reflection. He treated me so well to the end. His wife had a major stroke, and company just kind of closed down. He checked out, and we were out of business in 4 months. But I sure hope I shine light and shone brightly for God and was an impact. And we can do that. We can reflect God's greatness. Amen. The musicians would come, aiming for the shortest service in the history of Calvary Gospel Church. I don't know about you, but I want to have an excellent spirit. You ever just meet someone who has an excellent spirit? Just talking to, I was texting someone about a pastor in the Milwaukee area, and I just said, you know, we had lunch with them at district conference one year, a few years back, and man, they just had the best spirit, him and his wife. And the reason we sat with them was because all the tables were filled, and I'm like, I know them by name, but I don't really know them. They're older than us, and we just sat with them, and they're just the sweetest people. That's what it's all about, because we don't find that in this world. And I'm thankful that I have a church family that are full of sweet people. And if you're a little grumpy today, a little grouchy, hey, there's room for improvement. If you get a little bad attitude with the world, it's the world. You know, if we want to, I mean, someday the world's going to go to a one world government and God's going to come back. So it doesn't matter who, what, when, how, why. Just focus on God. Don't get distracted by everything else. Focus on what can I do to bring glory to God and get someone to go to heaven with me and be reflection. And all the like little intricacies, sometimes I just like, well, what do you think about this scripture? It's like, you know, like in the big scheme of things, like I want to go to heaven. And I don't know. I don't have an answer to this, that, you know. And it's like there's some things we may never know. And so instead of getting so distracted, let's seek after God and say, God, I want to glorify you with everything I've got. And I want to have an excellent spirit like Daniel. Don't forget, it's not perfection. It's about giving our all, if you would stand with me. Giving our everything to honor and glorify God. So if you're a senior in high school and you're making decisions for the future, if you haven't considered talking to the Lord and asking him what he wants, do that. If you're a business owner and you're considering an expansion or a business change, seek after God. Like, does this glorify you, God? You're building a home or you're doing whatever it may be. You're taking a job. You're going to have some newfound evangelistic effort. Does it glorify God? Or is it like, you know, back in the day, they're like, let's argue the points of the scripture. Does that glorify God and help anything and reflect Christ? Or does it just make people think like, there's the argumentative Christian. Do we glorify God? We can cultivate an excellent spirit with a life of discipline, devotion, and dependence on God. Pastor Peter's message, again, the whole crux that I took out of it was obeying God. He said, stay in the land. It wasn't about the land. It wasn't about the promise, but it was about, are we doing what God says to do in our lives? And that's what this is all about. Are we putting everything in dependence on God and saying, God, I trust you. Help me. Help me to be humble. Help me to have a good attitude through the tough times, through the painful times. Listen, if we emulate Daniel with steadfastness, his humility, his spiritual focus, will honor God with our lives and inspire others and impact those around us. Because that's what it's all about. To get someone else to know Jesus, to know all about him, to meet a need, to be that light, that reflection, the moon in someone's dark world. Amen. Reflecting Jesus to them. Amen. As we begin to sing tonight, let's find a place to pray and say, God, need some reflection, God. Do I have an excellent spirit in all areas? And maybe there's just one small area that God's like, yeah, not so in it. Maybe on the way here, someone cut in front of you and it's like, ooh, yeah, I don't have a good spirit sometimes. God, what is it within me? Ask him. Ask the Lord, what is it within me that I need to change, that I need to grow in? Amen. Let's find a place to pray.